Here's a thought I'll title Macro Lens or Extension Tube. If you've never tried macro photography, I highly recommend it. It's all kinds of fun. If for no other reason than you can bring things that are invisible to the normal human eye because of their size or their position down there on the ground somewhere, you can bring those to view, and it's a lot of fun. I've just been looking at a new creature I'd never heard of before, but evidently they're a big deal, called tree hoppers. And you can find tree hoppers all over the internet, obviously, macro photography. And it's rekindled my interest in getting down there in the mud and the dirt and the bushes and see what I can find, which I used to do a lot of, sometimes with incredibly exotic camera setups. There was a great book by a guy named Lefkowitz, I can't remember the title of it now, something like Macro Photography, who had all kinds of ways to do macro photography. And one of the most interesting ones he proposed, which I tried and it worked and it was great, was to use not a camera lens on your camera, but to use an enlarging lens on your camera. Means it's totally manual in terms of setting apertures. But the trick was to mount the enlarging lens backwards on the camera using a special adapter ring so that the part that would normally be closest to the negative in the enlarging lens was actually facing the subject away from the camera, and the part that would normally be projecting down onto the paper in an enlarging lens would be closest to the film or the sensor of the camera. And the reason he recommended this as a great macro setup is because those lenses are very carefully corrected for planar flatness. Obviously, the negatives are flat, so you want a flat field lens that faces the negative, and you're projecting onto a piece of paper that's flat, so you want a flat field projection, and that double-sided flat field makes for a fantastic macro setup. And I used it for years. Back in those days, I was using a Nikon FM camera, SLR camera, so those days are now long behind me. But there's still more than one way to create a macro shot. The two most common ones are to buy a macro lens, and sometimes they can be pretty expensive, but they're gorgeous. They're usually pretty fast. They're usually sort of a longish focal length, but they're great, and there's no reason not to get them other than the fact that they're expensive. The other way to do macro photography, if your lens doesn't focus to macro distances, is to use what's called an extension ring. And this is a ring with appropriate connectors that mounts on your camera, and then your lens mounts on the ring. And what it does is displace the lens farther away from the sensor by X number of millimeters, 10 millimeters or something like that, depending on the size of the extension tube you get. And extension tubes usually come in a set of three. So you get a small one, a medium one, a very deep one, and you can use them in combination to get as close to something as you want. I have found these to be really interesting and fun devices and inexpensive. So for a way to break into macro photography, they're great. But here's the really interesting thing. Because I was recently looking at these little tree hoppers and got interested in macro photography again, I went back to look at some older images and negatives where I used macro techniques, which was obvious to determine. There's no metadata in film, but it was obvious to determine because the subject was so small, but yet showed up so large on the negative. So it was pretty easy to tell which were macro shots and which were not. And one of the things that was fascinating to me is I could not tell by looking at the images, which were done with an expensive macro lens, this enlarging lens weird setup that I was using, or extension tubes. There was no way to tell, because when it's all said and done, what you're looking at is a photographic image. And although to an expert's eye, there might be some differences between one macro setup and another macro setup, to my eye, there wasn't. I got fascinated by the spiders that I was photographing and dewdrops and etc., but I have no idea how I photographed them, or that is to say, what kind of setup I used. So if you've not tried macro photography and you want to experiment with it a little bit, my suggestion is get an inexpensive set of extension tubes and try it. You'll probably find it's a lot of fun. You'll find it's easy. They're relatively inexpensive. And when it's all said and done, you won't be able to tell that you made the photograph with an inexpensive extension tube and any kind of reasonable lens that you have. And although it's possible that the expensive macro lens might excel in certain characteristics, I'm not sure that it would be enough better than an inexpensive extension tube for you to see it in your finished picture. And of course, as the old saying goes, what the eye can't see, the heart doesn't miss.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.